Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
This is Sharon Vornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. My guest today is Claire Hebb from Providence, Rhode Island. Claire is a fairly new investor who will start her sophomore year of college in the fall. She's taking advantage of the summer break to get on solid footing now so she can continue to work on her business while she's in school next year. Claire also has set up a YouTube channel to document her journey as she goes forward in her real estate investing career. So be sure to check out her channel, which is called Investor Diaries. Welcome to the show, Claire. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks, Sharon. It's great to be here.
Well, why don't we start out? You have such a unique situation here. Why don't we start out and just have you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty standard teenager, I would say. Grew up in Miami. You know, my dad is a successful entrepreneur, so I was definitely very privileged to grow up in the household that I did and with his guidance and everything. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, all I really did growing up was chill. You know, I was really into basketball, so I pretty much lived in the gym. And yeah, I mean, I wish I could brag about, like, my academic excellence and stuff, but not really the case here. But other than that, I'm just really focused on having financial freedom and just living the sickest life possible. So that pretty much sums me up right there.
Well, you know, you're certainly in the minority, although I do know, you know, a couple of other people, several other people that started early and, you know, found themselves very successful before they were even 30 years old. So I think you're definitely on the right path. So I forgot to ask you this. What are you studying in college?
So I wanted to get some sort of, like, business degree, like management and stuff like that. But I know myself as a student, and math is definitely, like, not my strongest subject. So at this point, I'm really just trying to get a degree as fast as possible. So, I mean, I'll probably just end up majoring in, like, you know, literature or something like that. Just so I can get the degree and you know, say that I'm credible, you know, I went to school and everything. So that's just sort of my plan right there.
Okay. Now, tell me this. When did you first become interested in real estate?
So I was actually 17 when I first heard about it. And it's actually a really lame story, and I wish it was a lot cooler than it is. But I was on Instagram one day, and this famous real estate investor, his name is Manny Coachman, basically, like, came to America, didn't know English, built up an empire worth over $100 million. And he posted a picture of his McLaren P1, which is, like, a super expensive foreign car. And I was like, damn, like, that car is awesome. Like, you know, I wish I could be driving that. And he had hashtagged real estate investing. So from that point on, I was like, you know, what is this real estate investing thing? Like, if this can get me to the point where I'm driving a McLaren P1, like, I got to know what this thing is. So that was definitely, like, the first time I became super interested.
Okay, so you said your dad is an entrepreneur. I guess he has some sort of a business, but is anyone in your family or anyone in your close circle of friends in real estate?
No, actually. My dad isn't either, but he definitely, like, made me want to become an entrepreneur just because, you know, he provided, like, such an amazing lifestyle for our family. And, you know, he always would tell me that the only way you're going to live the life that you want to live is if you are the one if you are the one who owns your own business. You know, if you don't want to answer to anybody else, that's the way to go. And he would always, you know, tell me, like, how difficult it was going to be and how, you know, business is the most competitive sport in the entire world. Actually, I don't really, like, know anybody else who's doing what I'm doing, especially in real estate. Like, I know agents and stuff, but nobody who's really into, like, the investment/development part that I'm really into. So yeah, I definitely would say that I found this on my own for the most part.
Well, my story was kind of like yours. I mean, my dad had a business. My mom back in a time when women didn't have businesses. She had a little business.
Right.
She learned about passive income and how to have a business and have it pay you month after month. But honestly, I didn't have anybody in real estate. In fact, when I was your age, I was living across the street from a guy who was maybe a year or two older than me, but not much. But he was a realtor, and this was during a time when everybody had a job. And we all just kind of thought he was crazy. You know, what does he do all day? He doesn't get a regular paycheck. And it was, looking back on it, it's really funny. But he was one of those people that had vision and trusted his vision, although, you know, I don't think he was doing any investing back then, but it's so funny really to think back on that story, because people today, entrepreneurship is actually a pretty common thing. And if you're not an entrepreneur, you know about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
so now your primary investing strategy at this time is wholesaling, isn't it?
Yeah, as of now, because I'm definitely trying to build up capital and credibility and experience and all that. So that's definitely what I'm trying to do now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and how long did it take you to do your first deal?
It took me from like the very, very beginning. It took me about a year and a half. Keep in mind, when I found it, I was only 17. So I didn't want to start taking action until I officially turned 18, just for like, you know, like I wanted to be able to sign my own contract and everything like that. So I thought it was definitely smart to wait. But after I turned 18, it was about like 6 months, I would say, until I got my first deal.
Well, that's actually pretty fast. I mean, you're the second person that I know that said, gosh, this fellow Jeff, he's a friend and a fellow real estate investor. He said, I was reading books and, you know, about real estate investing, and it was just fascinating, but nobody in my family was an investor. But he said the same thing. Everybody else is wanting to get old enough to go to a bar. I wanted to get 18 so I could sign a real estate contract.
Yeah. Yeah, that literally sums me up. Yep.
Yeah. So tell me about your first deal.
Okay. So basically, there's like certain things that you're not supposed to do when wholesaling real estate, and I pretty much did all of those things. The property was in a really bad neighborhood. It had so many repairs. You know, I offered way too high. I let my emotions get in the way of the numbers, and, you know, just every noob mistake that I could have possibly made, I did. So I ended up having to come back to the seller and be like, hey, you know, I got a buyer who's willing to pay this amount. Would you mind taking less? And luckily, you know, one of the benefits of a motivated seller is that he was like, yeah, sure, you know, as long as we can get this deal closed. So that deal ended up working out, but I definitely learned a lot of valuable lessons from that first profit.
I guess my next question is, and which we didn't really talk about this, but do you belong to your local RIA, your real estate investors group?
I do. Yep. I recently finished school and I got up to Providence like a week ago or something. So I went to the first meeting. And so now, you know, I got to wait another month for the second meeting, but I definitely will be consistently showing up to those meetings. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they are people downplay the way RIAs help you out. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I bought and sold my first few deals within that RIA group. The investors have deals to sell. You know, I was rehabbing at the time, so I didn't have to get good. I could pay a little bit more than wholesale, you know, lose that wholesaler fee. But, you know, there's private money in those groups, but the biggest thing that you get there is education and learning from people, because trust me, Claire, everybody has made the mistakes. So if you can save yourself from making any of them through somebody else's hardship in the fact that they made them, then, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. But I've belonged to my RIA for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
And I still go, I mean, I'll go time after time, and a lot of times, you know, it's not, well, most of the time now it's nothing new for me, but I always go for the, you know, I pick up a tip or you to network. If you go for no other reason than networking, it's worth it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I always like how in the beginning of the meeting, it's kind of just like a free-for-all session where, you know, you can stand up, say, hey, I got this deal, or hey, I'm looking for this kind of property, or just kind of like advertise yourself. And it's a very like open and comfortable environment. So, yeah, I agree with you. The meetings are definitely worth going.
Yeah, and I think you'll definitely be memorable because you're still in college. And if you go with the goal to meet people, because you never know down the road how those people are going to be able to help you or how you may be able to help them with something.
Yeah, no, it's very true.
Mm-hmm. So have you done one deal to date, or have you done more deals than one?
Yeah, so that's the only official deal I've actually closed so far. But it's kind of a long story because, you know, with my family situation, we've been moving around so much that it was kind of hard for me to sort of, like, pick a new market that I could set up a base in. But now that I'm going to college in a location and I'm finally settled and everything, I'm just ready to get after it and really build from here. So that's sort of the plan.
Well, I think it's a good plan. I think it was fine that you started where you started. The fact is you started. That's the big thing.
Right.
So now, like you said, now you can, you know, start thinking about, you know, your market there, learn your market there, which is huge, learning your market. So what types of marketing are you doing?
So for my actual deals, I love direct mail. And I'm a big fan of picking one stream of marketing and working on it until it's a systemized process and then moving on to other forms. Because before I realized that a big mistake that I would make is that I would try and focus on too many different ways. And I became super overwhelmed and then I ended up accomplishing nothing. So I definitely prefer using direct mail and just kind of like focusing on that aspect. And then for the investor diaries, I'm basically only using YouTube and Instagram, which I definitely need to start being active on all social media platforms across the board, like you told me yesterday. So that's definitely the plan for that.
Yeah, and I tell everybody, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier, just do a brain dump. Do a brain dump and put down everything that you need to do and then just tackle them one thing at a time. I think if you pick one, you know, focus on one and build that out, then focus on another one. I have to tell you, you know, YouTube is huge. Facebook is huge for real estate investors. All of your big real estate investors are on Facebook. So that probably should be your second thing that you work on. But you should have time this summer to get set up and, you know, get everything done.
Right, yeah, for sure.
So are you doing in-house postcards or letters, or are you farming them out to a company?
So I am going to be buying the postcards from Vistaprint. That's definitely the cheapest way that I'm going to get this done. But I will be writing the addresses on them, like by hand, and then sending them out by myself. And that's definitely like a starting plan, because I feel like doing it with a service, that's definitely a more like systemized way of doing it. But at this point, I'm trying to spend as little money as possible. So, you know, I'm going to be receiving the postcards from Vistaprint, writing all the addresses out, and then sending them out. And yeah, that's sort of where I'm at right now.
Well, I think that's a good plan. You know, I know a number of people that do it that way. They buy the postcards in bulk and send them out. You know, one day if you scale up, you can use a different company and get them to mail them and do it all. But there's starting where you are is the right thing to do, because right now when you're not making a lot of money, you need to be conserving your money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree.
So, you know, you've got this summer off, and you're in your market area. You've got that. What are you doing to learn your market? Are you going to open houses, or what are you doing?
Yeah, so that's definitely a hustle for sure. I mean, the best way to really learn your market is, one, obviously talk to people. You know, talk to people who really know the area. So, you know, a lot of real estate agents, other investors and stuff like that. But honestly, just getting in your car and driving around, I think that's a great way to know your market, because you can kind of figure out like how everything is organized in your farm area. You can figure out, you know, what streets are bad, what streets are good, you know, what areas look like they're, you know, safe, you know, family friendly, all that kind of stuff, and what areas, you know, you kind of want to stay away from. So I think boots on the ground is a great way to learn your market. And it's sort of like it's something that nobody can really describe to you. You know what I mean?
Right. It's something you really have to learn, and it's,
yeah.
You know, it's, going out and, yeah, the boots on the ground stuff, going to open houses in an area you're interested in marketing in is an excellent way to, A, meet agents who might have a pocket listing. You know, those are listings that they get that they haven't yet put on the MLS, and maybe houses that need a lot of work. So meet some agents and tell them what you do. Don't go out there with any expectations except to stop by and introduce yourself and say, tell me, I know you know this area. Would you mind explaining it to me? And they'll be happy to do that. But it is, I cannot tell you how valuable that is to go and do those sorts of things. And I used to be driving down the street and somebody would be having a rehab and I would just get out of the car and go in and look at the rehab.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think definitely taking the position of a student is also really important when you're talking to these people. Like, mm-hmm. I always really like to acknowledge that they know way more than me. They have way more experience. And so, you know, I'm here to just soak up whatever they tell me. So that's a way that, you know, they feel comfortable talking to me, because, you know, like a random 19-year-old shows up at their property. They're like, you know, what's going on? So it's definitely important for me to, like, establish myself as, you know, a new investor trying to learn the area and just trying to, you know, soak up as much knowledge as possible. Mm-hmm.
Well, and yeah, and always be sure and take their card and say, hey, occasionally I might run across a deal that I can't do anything with. Can I have your card? Maybe I can send you something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, I think you've got this whole summer to kind of immerse yourself in your market and really set some things in place that'll help you go forward through next year.
Yes. Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah. So what are you going to do now when you get back in school, and how are you going to manage your marketing then? Are you going to try to schedule it out and see that it gets done?
Yeah, so I think my main goal this summer is definitely to figure out, you know, how I can sustain all of this during the school year. You know, what's the most efficient way I can film, edit, and upload videos in addition to, you know, all the phone calls, walkthroughs, negotiations, and stuff like that. And honestly, one thing that has really helped me sort of, like, one thing that has really, like, brought comfort to me in trying to figure out how I'm going to be balancing all this is that book, you know, the book, The One Thing?
Oh, I love that book, yes.
Yeah, that after reading that, that's when I was like, okay, you know what? I can do this because I know what my priorities are. You know, I'm going to wake up early in the morning before, like, I don't care how early I have to wake up. I'm going to, you know, get up before class, you know, film, edit, upload videos, you know, do whatever I need to do. And then in the afternoons after class, you know, I'll take the phone calls. I'll go to the walkthroughs. I'll bring the contracts to the sellers and just stuff like that. So I'm definitely really excited for the challenge. And there's honestly no excuse, because in college you definitely have, like, a lot of free time. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. way more than you ever think. So I really don't think it's going to be a problem. But yeah, it's just a matter of having priorities and following through on them.
Yeah, another book I might recommend. Well, another book that's kind of like the one thing is called The Pumpkin Plan, and it talks about if you want to grow a giant pumpkin. Get rid of all the distractions, pull off all the little baby pumpkins, you know, that are holding you back. But it's a very similar in nature, but they have some analogies in there for real estate. I also like the 12-week year because you're very focused and you'd probably work very well within that book. It's The 12-Week Year by Brian Moran. And it is, you take your, everybody needs annual goals, whether you're a student, although few students do, and, you know, but to take those goals and break them down into 4 12-week periods, which makes it a whole lot more manageable. If you say, okay, this 12 weeks, I'm going to get all the systems down for my direct mail and I'm going to do A, B, and C, then you get that piece in place. And then you say for your next 12 weeks, okay, maybe it's time to work on my website or whatever that is. But it's not so overwhelming when you're trying to stay in school and, you know, do homework and have exams and, It kind of, I don't know, niches it down into a smaller package, I guess you would say.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely check that one out.
Yeah, so this I like books, and it's but I love the one thing. I think that is a great book.
Oh yeah, honestly, just the first time I listened to that book, because it was like an audiobook, I don't mm-hmm. know why, but I just felt like so much more relaxed after listening to it, because it makes everything feel so, like, doable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes you feel like you can accomplish so much because you have this, like secret mindset that not everybody knows about. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I think it's. I definitely think I'm an avid reader, and one thing that I see that sets people apart that succeed from those that don't succeed is those that do succeed are lifelong learners. You know, when other people are watching Modern Family, I'm probably listening to a podcast or, you know, something like
yeah.
that. We all have the same 24 hours a day. Not to say that I never watch television, but it's not my priority. And I'm much more likely to be saying, okay, I've got an hour. What can I learn? Or, you know, what can I study or get better at?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So since you're getting started this, I probably know the answer to this one, but have you invested in any programs or coaching or anything like that?
Oh, God, yeah. Yep.
Have you? okay.
I'm definitely more of a person where, like, you know, I just can't get one program and rely on that one thing to, like, you know, solve all my life's problems. but, you know, I've done a crap ton of stuff. You know, I looked at Clever Investor. I bought so many guides and stuff from Bigger Pockets, your blog, you know, Louisville Gals Real Estate blog, definitely read over your website a bunch of times, and just Phil Pustyovsky, just literally anything that has to do with real estate investing, I pretty much searched, you know, down to the details.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff, but it's funny because after reading all of these courses and stuff, the one thing I realized is that, honestly, I could have stopped reading this stuff a long time ago, taken action, and I probably would be farther than where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you hit upon a point that everybody gets hung up on. It's getting that first deal done. We all study
yeah.
and study and study. And, you know, that's kind of true, though, Claire, as you go along in your business. Maybe you'll want to implement something new or maybe you know, whatever it is. You'll study about it and study and study rather than just studying somewhat enough to get you started and then just diving in. You know, I've kind of learned to say yes to things and then go, holy crap. What is it I need to be doing now? But really, that's kind of the way you have to be.
Yeah. No. Completely.
Okay. Well, you know, I think this has been so much fun. Let me ask you one last thing. Do you have any advice for other people your age that might be interested in getting into real estate?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that you are going to be unbelievably confused when you first start. Like, I remember reading my first real estate investing book. It was, like, senior year in my high school psychology class. And after reading it, I literally had to Google everything. Like, at one point, I was searching, you know, like, what is a tenant? What is rent? Like, just, you know, the dumbest stuff ever because I had no idea what anything was. So, yeah, I definitely suggest starting as early as you can because, you know, it'll definitely take time for things to solidify in your head. And, you know, that'll eventually lead to the confidence to go out there and take action. But, you know, I mean, it all comes down to the fact that if you truly want to live out the reality you're envisioning for yourself, then you got to go for it and just not look back. So that's definitely what I would say, is that just get started, understand that there's going to be so many things that you're not sure about in the beginning, but you just got to push through that point and it'll all work out, hopefully.
Well, I think that's great advice. And, you know, people, they don't often admit that it's unbelievably confusing, but it is when you first start out. And like you said, you don't know the terminology. You don't know
right.
the procedures. You don't have the forms. You just feel like you have been dropped into the middle of a foreign country.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And that's, you know, when I say it took me a year and a half to close my first deal, I literally spent that entire year just dedicating it to my knowledge and my education because there's so much material when it comes to real estate investing. And I didn't even figure out wholesaling until maybe 6 months after that. So, you know, I was trying to learn this stuff the traditional way. And you know, that stuff is, in my opinion, more confusing than just wholesaling. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's definitely you just got to keep learning. You got to keep searching on the Internet. You know, keep confusing yourself because the more you confuse yourself, the more that it'll start to become apparent over time. So that's definitely what I would say.
Well, great advice. And, Claire, I don't have any doubts that you're going to go far in this business. So maybe we'll check back here maybe next summer and see where you are and kind of do an updated podcast. So, yeah, so now you need to set some stellar goals, girl.
Absolutely. I'm going for it. Thanks so much, Sharon.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I do appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, guys, you know, I think for anyone out there that is thinking maybe you're too young to invest in real estate, let me just say, first of all, that that isn't true. I'm sure this podcast is going to be an inspiration to everybody out there. Heck, you don't have to be a college student to be struggling to get started. You can be any age at any stage of your life, and it's still the same learning process. So this is a field where there truly is no age barrier, there is no gender barrier, no any barrier. Anybody can do this. It's a simple business, but it's not always easy. So just remember that. It can be very confusing, but you can do what Claire did and you can just figure it out. So I guess we'll wrap this one up for today. This is Sharon Vornholt, and I'll be back soon with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing.